First, the Great Lakes are big, so it's easy to think that one tiny stream or creek doesn't have much of an impact once it reaches the shore. But new research finds that the combined effect of those streams might be bigger than we thought. Scientists at Michigan Tech looked into the plumes of sediment flowing into Lake Superior from thousands of small tributaries, especially after big rainstorms. Their research included aerial drones, an underwater vehicle, and good old-fashioned boats. Amy Marcarelli is an associate professor of biological sciences at Michigan Technological University. Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here.
Well, now, the Great Lakes are unique in a lot of ways, and one thing that makes them unique is when you look at those watershed maps, you look at the Mississippi River, it's got a huge watershed. The Great Lakes, it looks really small on the map. A lot of the water, I guess, comes from rain, so it's been easy to overlook the impact of those tributaries in the past, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what got us interested in this research in the first place. So when I came to the Great Lakes about 10 years ago, I had been studying how streams and lakes interact in watersheds that are more like the Mississippi, where there's really big watersheds and really small lakes. And as I started to ask people, you know, how important are the streams? The answer was, well, we don't really know, but we think not very important because the watershed is so small.
So what difference, first, how many of these little tributaries are there going into Lake Superior?
That's a really good question, and the answer is that it's not easy to figure that out. So for our paper, we put together the most recent hydrology data that was available from the U.S. and from Canada and came up with about 2,800 streams coming into Lake Superior. About 10 of them, the biggest, make up about half of the watershed, but there are hundreds of small streams that make up the other half of that watershed.
I've spent a lot of time where those streams come into Lake Superior, not far from where you work in Houghton there. And depending on the time of the year, it's this little trickle that might not even make it through the beach. And then in the spring, It can really be a lot of water coming through. It varies a lot depending on the season, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we think of all of the rivers are most important when the snow is melting up here, which, you know, when that happens varies year to year. But how much comes out at other times of the year really depends on how much rain has fallen in the immediate area prior. So some of these really small streams might go completely dry in the summer, whereas others may feed in all year long and put in these pulses of material at different times. And the size and the timing of when the material comes out of those streams and the water is going to really vary depending on whether you're talking about a big watershed or a small watershed.
So what do those streams do? What kind of impact do they have on Lake Superior, the streams and the sediment they carry?
Yeah, so one of the really important things that they do is they put in nutrients. And, you know, Lake Superior we value among the Great Lakes because it has this really clean, clear water. And that's in part because there's not a lot of algal production. And the streams deliver the nutrients that are really key for the productivity of the algae and the microbes in the near shore of Lake Superior. We often think about tributaries being important when they are delivering too many nutrients and causing problems with cyanobacteria and algal blooms like in Lake Erie or maybe in Green Bay. But in places where there's not a lot of nutrients, that can mean that there's not a lot of algae growing and so not a lot of food to feed the zooplankton that feed the small fish that feed the big fish. So one of the things that we're really interested in thinking about is how these tributaries may deliver nutrients, particularly phosphorus, which is the most common limiting nutrient, and how that may fuel this near-shore productivity that may be really important for sustaining the Lake Superior food web.
Talking to Amy Marcarelli from Michigan Tech, looking at tributaries of Lake Superior, the small streams, creeks, and rivers that feed into Lake Superior and the impact they have on the lake. So, Amy, follow along with us on, I guess, the plume where one of these streams goes into Lake Superior. What kind of things are you looking at there?
So what we're really interested in is, first off, do these plumes where the streams come in have distinct water chemistry? And a lot of our study in the recently published paper was actually just going out and driving our boats through the plumes, collecting water samples and trying to see what was different. And one of the interesting things that we found out is that you may know from being on these streams around our area that many are stained. They have this darker water color. That's due to the dissolved organic carbon that's in the water. That's natural material, but it makes this sort of dark color that we can actually detect both if we take samples back to the lab and analyze them, but also with sensors in the field. And so we're getting really interested in, can we use sensors to measure how big the plumes are? And what that will allow us to do is to estimate when we do have these big plumes coming out, say, during snowmelt or during summer rainstorms, when maybe we can't get on the lake to grab a sample with our boat or to understand how big the plumes are. Can we use those sensors to estimate how much water and how much material is coming out of the streams under this full suite of conditions?
Now, I think of a stream ending, right, when it pours into the lake, but it sounds like it's really still going on, maybe pretty far out.
Yeah, and the interesting part is that there are times that we've been out trying to sample when maybe the stream kind of does end right at the mouth. There, if you go out, it may have just a very small area, but there are other times when there's a lot of water coming out that it may make really big plumes. We went out and tried to do some sampling of a river plume this past summer with sensors mounted on an underwater autonomous vehicle that we have here at Michigan Tech, and we set up a plan to run it sort of in and out of the plume, and happened to be out sampling the day after a pretty big rainstorm in July, and discovered that the plume was actually filling the whole bay that we were trying to sample all the way out and mixing quite far out, which we discovered because we also had a drone that we were flying overhead to look for the different watercolors, and discovered the line where the dark water was mixing in with the light blue Lake Superior water many kilometers offshore from where we were sampling. So sometimes they can be really, really big and you may not even realize it.
Now, you got hit with a pretty big flood this last summer, as did a lot of northern Wisconsin. What kind of difference does an event make like that in Lake Superior itself?
Yeah, you know, the big floods that happened this year were and actually have happened prior years in northern Wisconsin as well have been interesting because not only are they moving this water and the dissolved material, but they're also eroding a lot of sediment. And they make these really big sediment plumes, which actually were visible using satellite imagery for a long time this summer. And a lot of those images were shared via social media and in the news. And that sediment will have phosphorus bound to it as well. And that will then be transported into the lake and released later and may, again, fuel algal productivity. So one of the interesting things that we saw this summer were cyanobacteria blooms along near shore in Ashland and Bayfield. And researchers in Wisconsin and in Minnesota were studying those plumes and think that the fact that those happened this summer were associated with the sediment that was delivered during those rainstorms in late June and early July. So we may see sort of delayed effects of those runoff events in the nearshore productivity.
It seems like these tributaries of Lake Superior have been understudied in some ways, and I think you've said that this research is as much about raising questions as it is providing answers. So what kind of questions now are you hoping to look at in the years to come?
Yeah, so I think one question that we have is we've been looking at plumes in just the streams around us here in Houghton. A question that we have is, do other tributaries behave the same way as the streams that we've been looking at here? Can we use these autonomous technologies to really understand how the nutrient delivery may change with storms of different sizes or at different times of years in different parts of the lake, how they actually mix into the lake by doing some whole lake modeling, and then how might they change in the future with climate change if we're seeing more frequent or more severe summer storms or changing in the accumulation or timing of snowmelt, how that may lead to changes in these stream lake linkages.
And I've been in Lake Superior in August, and it's ranged from brutally cold to, you know, not quite so brutally cold. Does the temperature when that sediment is coming in make a difference in things like the algae blooms and cyanobacteria?
Absolutely. Well, the temperature of the lake when relative to the streams will affect first just how the water mixes together. Waters of different temperature may or may not mix depending on the wind or the current. So you may see differences in where the water actually goes. And then if those nutrients are going into warm lake water, the algae and other microbes certainly grow faster when the water is warm. So the timing of that material relative to the temperature that the organisms are experiencing in the lake will make a big difference on what effect it has.
Amy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, I was really glad to be here to talk to you. Thank you for having me.
That's Amy Marcarelli, Associate Professor of Biological Sciences at Michigan Tech. She was with us to talk about her and her colleagues' research showing that the impact of small tributaries, the streams, creeks, and rivers on Lake Superior, that impact could be a lot bigger than previously thought.